I have also Tony Gosling, investigative journalist, with us from Bristol in the UK. Tony, it's very good to have you on the program. I wanted to talk to you about something. Well, do you believe that in the past few months, the US has been attempting, of course, to create some sort of uprising in Caracas and Venezuela in order to topple the regime? When failed in doing so, he changed his strategy from the anti-narcotics operations towards the removal of Maduro and eventually regime change.
Well, look, I don't think so, really. Nobody in Latin America is going to be in the least bit surprised about what's happened. If you go back through the last few years, so you go back to 2009, the US has done a regime change in Honduras. Some of us are still old enough to remember one of the really big ones, which was in Chile in 1973, when the United States under Nixon and Kissinger ousted Allende in a military coup. Back a little bit further to 1964, the United States did a regime change in Brazil. I mean, this is their, they see the United, the South America as literally their territory that they can do what they want with. And as we've seen over the years, through the various, mainly actually these days, this is something that Southcom organizes. This is the Pentagon's control room, Florida, I think it is, where it's based, where all of the military actions around South America are conducted from, because the United States believes that it needs to control militarily the whole of South America. What they do from places like this is they're looking constantly to put in puppet governments, maybe to assassinate, which has happened over the last two or three years, candidates for election. I think it was in Ecuador, the most recent one. They assassinate candidates that they don't want to be in charge. And so even if, this is what this shows today, even if somebody manages to get through and is protected, their lives are protected through the election process to become a president in a South American country, then the United States, through infiltration, spying, obviously spies will have been involved within the top echelons of the government in Venezuela, whether they are Spanish, possibly Israeli, US spies who have compromised the security of Maduro. Oh, and by the way, he may not be alive. I think many people in South America waking up to this, as actually many of them are still to wake up to this morning, that they will be wondering, their first question will be, oh, well, they've probably killed him. And that this is just a mass media operation to pretend to try and placate people about whether Maduro really is still alive or not. But what it does tell us is that the, in a way, it's a moment of clarity, it should be, for the world about what the Anglo-Zionist Empire, it's not just the United States, obviously Britain is part of all of this and Europe too, what they really think of democracy. They're not interested in democracy, whether it's in the United States or anywhere else. And although they have a kind of pantomime of democracy in the US elections, and maybe somebody who's slightly less bad than the other guy or girl is going to be is elected in the United States. Really, the idea is that only the deep state candidates will be put forward to become president. So, a big country like Venezuela has done a superb job, I think, in managing to keep its pride and its independence. But look at Argentina, for example. This is now a total puppet regime under Milei of the United States. He does everything the United States tells him to do, and he's not the only one either. I think maybe the people who should be most worried in Latin America, looking at what's happened, and most shocked, are possibly Cuba. Because the United States has had its eyes on Cuba for a long time, and one of the big backers of Cuba, obviously it's not that far away geographically, has been Venezuela. And so we can expect now a puppet regime to be installed in Caracas And I don't think anyone, even though it's a bit shocking, I mean, obviously, it's been shocking for Maduro this morning too, if he's still alive, we now see a US puppet regime installed in Venezuela to control this, what is roughly 20% of the world's oil supply. And that is a motivation. Of course, it's a motivation to get hold of these very valuable resources. But that is not the main reason. I think the main reason is that the US has decided, both in Europe and in the Americas and in other parts of the world, that it wants to make decisions about who is in control of all of those countries that come within its orbit. And my own study has been over the years on this organization, the Bilderberg Group, which started in the mid-1950s, and it has meant now that that the United States puppet leaders are not only in charge in most European countries, but they're also very much in charge of the United States of Europe, the EU, where we now have von der Leyen, who's an unelected, pretty much US puppet leader of the whole of the European Union, as President of Europe, they call her now. And so the US has not just been doing this this morning. Certainly South Americans are very... I mean, I've visited South America several times over the years, and they are all extremely sceptical about the United States, and this will not come as much of a surprise to many South Americans, particularly those who've studied their history.
Right. Allow me to continue the conversation with Tony here. Tony, do you believe that this operation in Venezuela, if you consider the arrest of Maduro to be the goal of this, as of course Marco Rubio said that for now this is the end of US operations in the US, but do you believe that this is going to trigger instability or retaliation from Venezuelan military factions or allied groups in the region?
Well, look, I'm sure the United States has done its homework as to where possible resistance is going to come from, and most likely has calculated obviously there must have been some collaboration between the highest echelons of the military in Venezuela. I mean, you know, whatever means the US has used, whether it's aircraft, helicopters or whatever, to get in, The Venezuelan military should have dealt with that on the way in. It's probably these helicopters or aircraft, I'm not sure what they are, probably came from this carrier strike group, and that would have been known about. So something could have been possibly done to deal with them. So there must have been some disabling of the military. Now, how that's exactly been done, through spies, through assassinations that we haven't heard about yet, we just don't know. But I mean, this is just a regime change operation. It's kind of off the counter, if you want, a sort of, you know, let's just do this type of regime change. I'd just like to remind people, last year, Calin Georgescu was standing to be the leader of Romania, and he was just told, no, I'm afraid, through lawfare. And they've used lawfare, of course, in South America a lot. No, you can't stand. So by whatever means, right across the Anglo-Zionist Empire, the US is telling everybody, with the connivance of Britain particularly, but also, of course, with the mass media. All over the BBC World Today, we've seen one person after another giving all the excuses why this kind of thing is fine. So, for example, saying that, oh, well, he's a criminal, Maduro has got to go on trial in America, he's been doing drug trafficking. Well, as if the United States has not, the CIA being one of the major drug traffickers in the whole world. And just giving loads of excuses, many they can find out, and there's very little. I mean, I was just listening to the English Language World Service, and there was no criticism of the US whatsoever in their news coverage of this. But of course, this is a horrific war crime. You can't, I mean, it shows really, doesn't it, the impotence, really, number one, of this idea of democracy that really is only something for the pantomime, and also, of course, the total impotence of the United Nations. The United States doesn't fear anything from the UN. This in a way, is a example, very clear example, of the Kissinger doctrine. I mentioned Kissinger was very much involved in 1973 in the overthrow in Chile of Allende. But, you know, this Kissinger doctrine, that if a country has not got nuclear weapons, that we can do whatever we want there. This, as our friend we were just hearing from was talking about it as a satanic move. Well, of course, it's very similar to the Nazis. What the Nazis were doing, just simply occupying... I mean, when, you know, for example, when they annexed, they just marched into Czechoslovakia in the 1930s. You know, they were marching into whichever country they wanted. And by being allowed to get away with this, of course, this empowers them. So we're going to see, I think, in South America, more of this. Either a kind of decapitation, as we're seeing here, with the president being removed, or else with another form of regime change. I think she's right to talk about Syria as well, a puppet installed in Syria as part of the Israeli-US Anglo-Zionist empire. This is a massive empire which is spreading. Now, if you look at the other big empires in the world, the Chinese and the Russians particularly, it seems to me now as if the only way for countries, independent countries like your own in Iran, to survive is to be aligned to one of these massive superpowers and be extremely understanding that you have a very strong military alliance. And also you're probably going to have troops from one side in another place. The countries are now being picked off one by one. And Venezuela, I mean, I must admit, I was a bit surprised to wake up this morning to hear all this, after all the rhetoric from Trump. But the idea is that nobody is safe unless they're part of an umbrella or a roof, as they call it, from one of these big superpowers. And there will be many people, I'm sure, in Iran as well, who are wondering who's going to be next, because the United Nations is completely failing to deal with any of this. And their role, ever since the 1963 association of Dag Hammarskjöld, who was trying to stop the violence down in Africa at the time, the United Nations has been really neutered when it comes to getting in, which is what they really need to do, is when there are disputed territories like Gaza, for example, they need to get peacekeepers in there. And if they don't, the United Nations is just going to be a bunch of old men getting paid massive salaries to sit around and twiddle their thumbs, pontificate on television and actually do nothing.
Right, Tony. Well, as our viewers are watching live footage coming in from Caracas on their screens, allow me to give you an update regarding the latest reactions. We've had the Spanish Foreign Ministry coming in with a statement calling for de-escalation, moderation and respect for international law in Venezuela. Also, Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni said that she is closely monitoring the situation in Venezuela to gather information about her fellow citizens.
Because they don't respect anything about international laws or international humanitarian laws. That's why the people of the world must stand against this expansionist, terrorist conspiracy, terrorist blood-sucking regimes, Zionists and the American regime, from interfering and from invading independent countries and looting the natural resources of the independent and sovereign states in the world.
Right, and Tony, do you believe that Maduro's arrest could embolden the opposition movements in other authoritarian-leaning states in the region?
Well, yes, of course it will. I mean, it's a real morale blow for 90% of South Americans. They don't want to see this sort of thing. They like to think that it is possible to have Hugo Chavez, Maduro-style socialist leaning. You know, let me just point out as well that in socialist countries, the voting means much more because the governments control and own generally much more of the infrastructure of the country. And so in places like Brazil, where almost everything is being privatized, And in Britain, by the way, when you vote, you know, you don't change the ownership of most of the infrastructure of the country. And this is the Reagan-Thatcher era, 1980s privatisations led to this situation where often voting, as here in Britain, doesn't really change very much. I think, for example, in Britain, with the removal of Jeremy Corbyn, by his own party and by the forces working against him because he was so pro-Palestinian. Again, you don't need to have regime change in Britain because you already have Keir Starmer, who's a Trilateral Commission US puppet, as the leader. And so this is their modus operandi. But it will be very depressing for many people. And this, of course, works well for the United States. They like to have their opposition, that is to say, the ordinary people around the world and in Europe and South America and even in the United States, actually, on the back foot, feeling disempowered, that they can't really do anything. And this is all connected, I think you have to really understand, with the main aim of all of this, which is not just oil grabbing. It's not just political control. It's shaping up for a major confrontation in the future with China. Russia probably involved as well, obviously. But that, I think, will be centered around the Middle East. I know you people like to call it West Asia, but most of the world understands the Middle East as because it's the in between the three major continents of Africa, Asia and Europe. And it is a very important point in the evolution, obviously, of civilization and of our faith. The Middle East is in the middle of the world, really. And so everyone is asking what has been going on over the last few years with, as your friend was just saying, with the genocide. So this, I think, is a key thing to understand, is that Netanyahu's role and the Likud party and the far right bloc in Israel's role in all of this has to be understood, is that they are there to create chaos. I think of Netanyahu, of Ben-Gvir, Smotrich and the rest of them as the lords of chaos. That is their job. They're not there to rule a country, to run a war or anything. They're there to just create as much carnage and horror as possible. And the purpose of that is to create a religious war between Zionism and mostly the Muslim world, but obviously with the Christian world and the genuine Jewish world as well, because many Jews are really disgusted and horrified to see what the Zionists have been up to in Gaza. At least Jewish friends of mine have been and are. And so the idea is to create this utter chaos and then to have a great world leader come onto the stage to say, it's OK, I can sort everything out. And that there is a lot of people have been speculating, and this is speculation, but I think it's looking much more like this, a kind of Jewish Messiah. And that, of course, most Christians will see as the Antichrist and Muslims will see as the Dajjal, that is to say, an evil figure who wishes to have world domination, but they can't get their world domination until there is the chaos for them to come in and be the person to sort it out. Very much like in the way of Hitler's rise to power, the German people saw him as their saviour because in the 1930s they had absolute horrifying chaos, economic chaos after the Versailles Treaty throughout Germany, starvation, unemployment, political riots. And when Hitler arrived in the early 1930s, he was seen as a hero by the German people. And so by creating the chaos now there is in the Middle East, this is creating a kind of red carpet for this Antichrist figure, this evil figure who comes as a man of peace in the future. And that's how I think actually what the real modus operandi of the Anglo-Zionist Empire, really led by Israel, Britain and the United States, is really all about.
All right. Thank you so much, Tony. This is Marzi Hashimi taking over for my colleague here at Press TV. Viewers, if you're just joining us, of course, we're continuing with our rolling coverage of the unbelievable events that have been taking place today. Of course, as you know by now, that the United States has bombed Venezuela. Various sites, explosions, of course, were heard throughout the capital and other parts of the country. We also know that Donald Trump on Truth, or social media, has said that Venezuelan President Maduro has been kidnapped along with his wife. Now, we do not know that. We have nothing so far as far as information if that is true or not. Regardless, the events are very, very troubling in general. I'm going to cross over to Norway now and get my next guest. And on this, John Stepling, author and commentator. Thank you so much. I mean, John, I would like to say that it is actually unbelievable what is happening. But you know what? It's really not. I mean, if we look at what has been taking place in the world in general, especially the last 2.5 years with the genocide and everything since then, the unfortunate reality of the world today is that what is taking place is actually not unbelievable. And I'm going to start from here. Do you think that this is something that other countries need to pay attention to, because there are no red lines, there's no law, it basically the law of the jungle, and we've never seen it any more obvious than we are these days? I mean, your thoughts.
Well, I completely agree. It's something, this attack and the alleged capture of Maduro is something I have been saying couldn't happen. The U.S. would be way overextended. They're not welcome in Venezuela. The people don't want them there. The people don't want Machado. She has no support. But yeah, there is this constant yammering from European leaders, Western leaders, about rules-based order. If there were a rules-based order, the EU would issue massive sanctions on the United States for an unprovoked attack against Venezuela. That, of course, is not going to happen. So the hypocrisy and double standards are jaw-dropping. But as you say, we're used to that. We've been watching it for a while now. I think there is a real question about whether the capture is true or not. We've not seen any pictures of Maduro. It has Eve Bartlett, a very credible journalist, has said it smells like a psyop to her, but she has no proof.
It's remarkable what is taking place and what has taken place. Crossing back over to Bristol, I have Tony Gosselin with us still, investigative journalist. Well, I mean, Tony, when we look at the overall situation that has happened, let's start from the beginning. I mean, so the U.S. has been threatening Venezuela for a while now. We know that it has been just killing fishermen and fishing boats for a while, threatening the overall peace of this country for a while. The middle of the night, which is always its MO, attacking in the middle of the night. Let's talk about creating the disturbance that it did for the civilian population, then just bombing at various areas of the country, all because a country wants to be independent and says that this is the president we want. We want to control our own resources. And now the U.S. is claiming that they have even kidnapped the president of the country. So my question to you is, what should the reaction be from other countries? Are we going to hear the EU condemn United States? Are we going to see the EU put sanctions against the United States? What kind of expectations can we have of these other countries that are always condemning others of human rights violations?
Well, I think the answer to your question is zero. Within the Anglo-Zionist Empire, which is the whole of Europe and most of South America and obviously all of North America, no action, I think, will be taken against the United States, largely because many are nervous about this and condemn it and will condemn it and have condemned it. Are individuals, people like the Cubans, and they're not really in a position to make much of a difference to the US economy, are they? And so there will be people, I think, waking up extremely disturbed by this, for example, in Cuba, knowing that they're in the crosshairs and they could be next. Despite as Nazi Germany was in the 1930s, is acting with unity, with a total failure from the United Nations to make a difference, as in Gaza. This organisation, I think, really needs to come into the spotlight, because their role is to prevent this sort of thing happening. So one country going into another and decapitating the political system, which is what's happened. It does look as if there must have been enormous infiltration of Maduro's regime, big promises made to individuals working in the security structure. In order to be able to get in and out safely, the United States must have been fairly sure that they had enough people within the security structure on site in order to allow this to take place. Otherwise, you would have expected any ordinary military and air force, etc., to have been there to stop these ingress into the Venezuelan airspace. And so I think this is probably, the United States is seeing this as a great triumph of their spying operation within Venezuela as much as anything else. But no, it's not a surprise. I love the way you started with this. It shouldn't be a surprise. I'm old enough to remember the Allende coup organized by Henry Kissinger back in 1973 in Chile, where it was more spectacular and it was more gunfire, etc., it seems, than we've seen today. But exactly the same sort of thing. This is an attitude of the United States that says, well, we are not going to allow people to elect a president or a leader that we don't like. Effectively, that was what was said about Allende, and it's been said exactly the same about Maduro in Venezuela. So look, at the end of the day, the South America has always been under the shadow of the United States. Even if you go back to the 1940s, Marcio, you had Nelson Rockefeller down there bribing his way round the South American capitals. Many of the leaders had very close connections to European powers like Germany and Spain, of course. But he was even able in 1947, 1948, to persuade them all, Nelson Rockefeller was, through bribery, to all vote for the creation of the State of Israel. So South America en masse voted for that, largely because of US power and US influence. And so this is the way most South Americans understand this very well, that there is this long, dark shadow cast over their nations by the United States, and has been for decades.
Yeah, but I mean, Tony, you talk about that region, but in general, I mean, when we look at things, it's really not just South America. I mean, it is the world. I mean, and this is the reality of, I think, what the world should understand, whether we're talking about, as you said, Chile and Allende, or we're talking about Haiti, Aristide, we're talking about the various elections throughout the world, Ukraine, and what happened, Iran, 2009, what they tried to do, and what they continually trying to do. I mean, basically, would you not say that it is a message for the world that either you do with the United States, or you better be definitely well prepared to defend yourself, because Washington will come after you in this old West mentality and the law of the jungle. I'm going to cross back over, though, to Camila Escalante. I mean, Camila, do you think that the South American people, as our guest Tony was saying,